Northwest London, Friday, Pesach Sheni, 14th of Iyar, 5th of May, Rabbi Dr. Samuel Landau, Shlita, Malchus. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored anonymously.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's wonderful to be back at Torah Way. To have a king or not to have a king? That is the question. Parsha Shoftim, Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Zayin, reads, Ki sovay el ha'aret asher Hashem elokecha nesen lecha, v'yishtav yishavta ba. When you come to the land that the Lord your God gives you, and you inhabit it and you dwell in it, va'amata, and you will say, Asima alay melech, kechol ha'goyim asher sivvosai. I will make a king over myself, like all the nations that are around me. Then, the next pasuk, Sein tasim alecha melech, you shall surely set yourself a king over you. Asher yivcha Hashem alekecha bo, that God will choose, mekerav achecha tasim alecha melech, from amongst your brothers, meaning you should have a Jewish king, not a non-Jewish king, you should have a king over you. Lo suchal leses alecha ish nachri asher lo achicha hu. You can't put yourself over an ish nachri. And then the rest of the psukim go into the details. You shouldn't have too many horses, too many wives, too much money. And normally the vassals of state, the apertures, the things that you'd have as a king, you would be the wealthiest person, many, many wives, a whole harem of wives and all this. But as a Jewish king, you might stray after Egypt if you've got too many horses, and stray after Znus if you've got too many wives. And so we have to limit the king somewhat. So a Jewish king has a different set of rules. And also the Jewish king, normally a king has a scepter in one hand and an orb in the other. What does a Jewish king hold in his arm? A Sefer Torah. That is the representation of what he stands up for. Fine. But the first two psukim, when you come to the land which the Lord your God has promised you, and you come and you inhabit it, and then you'll say, I want to make a king over me. Then you should make for yourselves a king. What are the psukim saying here? Is this a chiyuv, a mitzvah? Or is it a rishus? Is this an obligation, that this is a mitzvah of kivush Eretz Yisrael, that one of the parts of coming to the land of Israel is a mitzvah to appoint a melech? Is a melech a good thing, something we're being commanded, or no? If you want to do it, if you say that you want it, like all the nations around you, then you can do it. It's like almost like an acquiescence to your desires. It's a rishus, but it's not a mitzvah. This question about whether to have a king is a good thing or a bad thing is played out in different parts of Nach. Some parts seem to suggest it's a good thing to have a king, and some parts seem to say it's bad. So, in Sefer Shoftim, in Perek Yud Ches, with the story of Pesel Micha, we begin by setting the scene for this tragic episode by Yamim Ahim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. In those days, there was no king in Israel, seeming to suggest that the reason that the tragedy of Pesach Micha occurred was because there was no rulership, there was no leadership, there was no dugma, there was no person to bring the nation together and to keep them on track, to keep that Sefer Torah in his arms as the values of the nation. The next Perek Yutes, the Pilegesh Begivah, another tragic event in the story of Am Yisrael, and another time that the Perek begins, Vayihi, by Yamim Ahim, Umelech, Ein B'Yisrael. There was no king in Israel. Again, suggesting that the psukim seem to be suggesting that the reason that this tragedy occurred was because there was no leader. Okay, so on the one hand, Sefer Shoftim seems to suggest that a king is a good thing. On the other hand, we go into Shmuel Aleph, Perek Ches, and the psukim there are describing the end of Shmuel's life. So when Shmuel became old, so he appointed his sons in his place. He had a son Yoel and a son Aviyah, and they weren't great. Let's put it that way. The psukim say that they weren't great. They took bribes. They vayatu mishpat. They subverted justice. And so the elders of Am Yisrael, the Ziknei Yisrael, came and they came to Shmuel vayomru. You're getting old, your children are not going in your ways. So now make for us a king, to judge over us, like all the other nations. Up until now we had a Navi, now we want a Melech. Shmuel wasn't happy with this. This seemed wicked in his eyes. Kasha Amrut, because they said, "It's not on a melech l'shateinu that you said give us a king to govern over us." V'yispalo Shmuel el Hashem, and Shmuel cries out to God. What does God say? V'yomer Hashem al Shmuel, "Shema b'kol ha'am, listen to the voice of the nation. L'chol asher yomre lecho, to everything they ask for you, to everything they say to you. Ki lo oscha ma'asu, ki osi ma'asu mimeloch aleihem. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They're rejecting me, as in they're rejecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? I'm the king," says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't worry, they're not rejecting you as the Navi. It's actually, you can listen to them. They're not, the rejection is actually much higher. The rejection is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. "K'chol ha'maisim asher asu miyom ha'losi osam mitzrayim ad hayom hazeh." Like everyone else, like everything else they've done since ever I brought them out of Mitzrayim, to this day, they've forsaken me, they've worshipped other gods, so they're doing to you now. So listen to them, but warn them. And tell them about the kings. And we go through, you've got to make sure that the king has got that frame within which to operate within, so that he doesn't go beyond the bounds. And nevertheless, the people persist at the end of the perek. They say, "No, ki'im melech ye aleinu, we want a king over us, so we can be like all the other nations. V'ayinu gam anachnu k'chol ha'goyim. We want to be like everybody else." And so they want a king. And then Shmuel goes and he says, "I'm going to," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesces, it seems, after Shmuel has tried to push them away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesces and says, "Yes, okay, you can have a king." It seems from the perspective of the Psukim in Shmuel that having a king is an acquiescence, it's a reshus, okay, if you will insist that we will give you a flesh and blood king, but remember, you are somehow being Moir B'Malchus. There's not to the extent that there should be an Aveira here, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king, and now you're asking for a flesh and blood king, it's the wrong thing. So what are we to do? The Psukim and Parsha Shoftim, they're a bit ambiguous. One, Sefer Shoftim seems to say a king is necessary. Sefer Shmuel seems to say it's not such a good idea. And in Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, that duality is brought down in two opinions in the Tanoim. The Brisa says, V'chein hayah Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Gimel mitzvos nitzav Yisrael b'chnisos on eretz la'aretz. There were three mitzvos that the Jewish people were commanded when they came into the land of Israel. L'ha'amid lahem melech, one, to establish for themselves a Jewish king. U'lahachris zaro shel Amalek, to get rid of the seed of Amalek. U'v'livnos lahem beis ha'bechira, and to build a temple. Three mitzvos of coming into the land of Israel. So you see here, it seems a mitzvah to l'chalchila, make a king. Rabbi Nehorai disagrees. He says, "Lo nemra pasha zoi and le keleneged tar oimason." To appoint a king was only a response to Yisrael's complaint. That was not a mitzvah. Shene'emar va'amarta asim alai melech. As it says in the Psukim, in Shoftim, only when they say, "We want a king," give them a king. It's only keneged tarumason. It's only against their complaints. But Rabbi Nehorai does not see it as a mitzvah. He sees it as a reshus. And this machlokes goes all the way down into the Parashanim and Halacha. On the one hand, we have maybe a school of thought which is typified by Abarbanel. The Abarbanel was one of the Chachmei Sfarad. He was a very wealthy man. He lived in the Spanish Portugal region and ended up his time in the court of Venice, ended up his life in Venice, died in Venice at the age of about 71. And the Abarbanel saw in his time the effects, the dramatically negative effects of absolute monarchy, because he lived at the time of the Inquisition. He tried to apparently bribe the different kings to encourage them not to support the activities of the Inquisition, and maybe legend has it that the chief inquisitor burst into the court and threw a great cross down on the floor and demanded that this king not be a Judas and should instead continue the activities of the Inquisition, and therefore the bribes went to no avail, and he saw the effects of absolute monarchy where power can corrupt. Normally we wouldn't say that a parshan or a rishon, or, you know, someone is using necessarily the experiences of that time to explain the Torah. Why? Because the Torah is meant to be beyond a particular context. And so to say that he's only using his context alone to explain the Torah. Sometimes we're quite hesitant about that. But the Abba Brunel explicitly says he draws upon his experiences of seeing absolute monarchy, of seeing the kings of Spain, the kings of Portugal, and the ruling dukes of Venice. And he says, in the kingdoms of Venice, he says, you know, I've seen what this has done, and this has told, shown me why it must be that the Psukim are a Rashus. The Pesukim are telling me that this is a Rashus to have a Melech, but being a Melech is a dangerous thing. And so he says there are five reasons, at least in his commentary on this, on Parashat Shoftim, why this is not a mitzvah, this is just a Rashus. The first one, if this was really a mitzvah, says the Abba Brunel, the Torah wouldn't have had to tell us that the people need to ask for it. The way the Pesukim say it is, when you ask for a king, then we'll give you a king. No, if it's a mitzvah, it just shouldn't be dependent upon a particular condition. This is the mitzvah, Kivush Eretz Yisrael. This is the mitzvah going into the land of Israel. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, how has this request been framed in Parashat Shoftim? We want to be like everyone around us. We want to be like all the goyim. That's a good thing. To emulate the goyim is the reason to fulfill a mitzvah. We've just gone through so many different psukim saying, don't be influenced by the nations that are around you. Don't defile, lo sakiha oretz, don't defile the land with the practices of the people around you. And now, for a melech, they are the great example for Am Yisrael. The Torah wouldn't frame the request for a king as a desire to be like the non-Jews. It's the second thing. Third thing. The way that the psukim position it, it seems descriptive rather than prescriptive. Va'amarta, you will say. This is something that will happen. Not, you have to do this. It is future tense rather than imperative. Fourth reason, if we're actually going to look at these psukim as holding mitzvahs, then there are really two mitzvahs here. One mitzvah is that Am Yisrael should request a king, and the second mitzvah is that Am Yisrael should be mamaneh, should coronate a king. Two different mitzvahs. And yet no one in their minyan ha-mitzvahs looks here as there being two mitzvahs. At best, we say there's one mitzvah to coronate a king, but if this is going to be a psukim that are mechuyev, then there should be two different mitzvahs here. So that's reason number four, he says this is a rishus. And the fifth reason is looking at Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel castigates the nation. He says, why do you want a king? There's a great answer that the Am Yisrael could have given, that all the Zikne Yisrael could have given to Shmuel when he says, why do you want a king? They could have said, we want a king because the Torah told us to have a king. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, shteit in posuk. Why do you want a king? Shteit in posuk. That's why I want a king, Navi Shmuel. They don't respond like that. And therefore, five reasons the Abba Brunel gives to say, it's not a mitzvah, it's a rishus. Why do we have a king? So the Abba Brunel brings examples like Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim Oimer, Hevi Mispalo B'Shloim Shamalchus, Daven for the peace of the Malchus, She'el Malei Meiro, Ish Esra'eu Chaim Bulog. If there wasn't Meiro, if there wasn't awe, if there wasn't a sense of fear in society, people are going to eat up each other. So why do we have a king? You need certain apparatus of state in order for society to function. But this is a bidyeved. This is not the ideal. This is just something which is a rishus to have. If you need the apparatus of state, then you will have it. And the Abba Brunel continues in a more philosophical fashion. He says, all the other nations, there are three different reasons to have a king. To be chief of staff, to be the general of the armed forces, and even today, they are Her Majesty, His Majesty's armed forces. And that is how, historically, a nation has projected their power and their might. It's through their military abilities. So the first thing is to be chief of staff, to be the general-in-chief. The second function of a king is to be the legislator, to deliver law. And the third one is to be the executive, to not only legislate, to create law, but also to mete out punishment for those that do not follow the law. And the Abba Brunel goes through each of those three roles and says those are already taken by other parts when it comes to Am Yisrael. Either our general is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we already have a Mashiach Mochama, we already have a Kohen who goes out to be part of the nation's army. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ramat Kal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the chief of staff. Or you've got other people who are already involved with the army's second one. Who is our legislature? Who is our our legislature? Is the Torah. We already have all the laws and the Rabbonim. And who is our executive? Who is the one to mete out punishment? It's the Beis Din. Shoftim v'shochim t'tein l'cha b'chol sha'arecha. We already know that we've got Beis Din and the apparatus of Beis Din to mete out punishment. So society, from a Jewish perspective, doesn't need a king. Therefore, at best, it's a reshus. That's the Abravanel. The Ramban strongly disagrees. The Ramban says it's a mitzvah. It's not a reshus, it's a mitzvah. And he goes through and he looks at the psukim and he says there are very good reasons to have a king. So over here in the Ramban on Parashat Shoftim, he says, "V'hi mitzvah asei she'chayev osanu lomar kein acha yerusha v'yeshiva." It's a mitzvah asei that is incumbent upon us after taking possession of the land and settling it. Now, we asked a question. Surely it says va'amarta. It's future tense, it's not imperative. He says there are other times where it's actually this language is used, and it's imperative rather than a future tense. Kiloshen va'asisa ma'ake leganecha v'zulaso. It says when you have to make a fence for your roof, va'asisa, you will make ma'ake leganecha. You will make a ma'ake for your roof. There, it's not future tense, it's imperative. It's not. It's a nice thing that when you have a roof, you'll make a makkah. No, it's a mitzvah to make a makkah for your roof. And therefore, to look at the amartor as saying it's only future tense, no, it's an imperative as well. It's a mitzvah. And he passes like the first shita in Sanhedrin. Not only that, why is it, says the Ramban, that the Torah says it's dependent upon the people saying it? The Abravanel said, how can it be a mitzvah? How can it be a mitzvah? Surely the Torah is only framed it in the context of people asking for it. He says, this is how you mamana a melech. How you mamana a melech? Not because the Kohanim, or the Levim, or the Shoftim say it's a good idea to have a melech. Ein melech b'loy am. The way that you achieve malchus is through the consent and desire of shop floor, of the people. And therefore, the reason the Torah has said it like this is to give, is to invest the melech with his malchus. Is with his melucha. That's why the Torah has said that the people have to ask for a king. Ein melech b'lo am. And the other reason that the Torah says it in this way is somewhat prophetic, says the Ramban. But the Torah knew there were two reasons Am Yisrael might ask for a king. Either it was to emulate the nations, or it's to have what a king should ultimately be. A living, breathing example of refined and dignified living to set the precedent for the rest of Am Yisrael, to do what Sefer Shoftim said was lacking, to fill that vacuum, to have society rallying around a central figure that represents what it is to be the best Yid that we can be. And so he says, so the Ramban says, the reason the Torah might have said it in this fashion, we want to be like all the nations around us, is because the Torah knows that in the time of Shmuel, they're going to ask for a king for the wrong reasons. And so prophetically, we're sharing that possibility to let us know that this could be one way to look at it, but actually there's another way to look at it. That's the Ramban.
Why do we not say that they asked for a king like all the other nations? Because their system didn't work, and the other nation's system did work. So it makes sense to say, like all the other nations whose system works with a king, let's have a king as well, because the body, the dionysium, and all the rest of it doesn't work.
So the question was, why don't we say, maybe there's something good out there. Maybe the nations have a good system of societal governance, and we should be following their lead. Maybe that's what's going on. I think we need to think about what the sort of kings at the time were. You've got someone like Ahasuerus, a very, very insecure man with someone who could very easily say, off with your head.
Secure at all. It's very powerful.
Well, if you were secure, you wouldn't have to cut off your wife's head.
The guy she king, he was powerful.
Fine. But he's not a good example for us of how to run a society.
He's clearly not a royalist, how you say?
I didn't say. We're not commenting on that. Okay. So let's have a think.
Sorry, it's a system of law and order.
Let's just think about a modern day king. Putin is a modern day king.
Doesn't come from the Romanovs at all.
The point is, he might have the din of a king. He acts as a king. Doesn't do so many good things in the world right now. It's a
statesman. Different.
I think there's a machlokes whether the president is a din of a melech or not. I think.
KGB, what's the problem?
Anyway, so why do we have this thinking? Why do we have kings? So Rav Soloveitchik, Yosef Ben Soloveitchik, looks at the need for kingship as an existential need. He all goes all the way back to Parshas Bereishis, where we describe the existential condition of a human being. Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. It's not good for man to be alone. We're social beings. We need to create social structures. Now, bringing people together is not always an uncomplicated thing. Chilukei deos, chilukei partzufehem. We're all a bit different. We look different. We think different. And so when we come together as a society, which we need to do, it's a fundamental need to not be alone, somehow we start to arrange ourselves. We have to arrange ourselves, because otherwise we would, as Pirkei Avos has already told us, we will eat each other up. And so Rav Soloveitchik looks at this as almost a natural need for hierarchy, a natural need to create some system of order. And it's interesting, it's not always the most popular of thinkers contemporary society, but Jordan Peterson, who's a psychologist and now a bit of an internet personality, in his first book, 12 Rules for Life, in his first chapter, says hierarchies are built into nature. So he looks at lobsters. Lobsters intrinsically create hierarchies of who is the most powerful lobster and who is the less powerful lobster. Why? Because that creates a sweet functioning and easily functioning group of lobsters that know where everyone stands. Now, he's sort of saying that hierarchies of, and power arrangements are therefore built into the fabric of social groups, that social groups need to have order, and therefore we almost need to put someone at the top of the pyramid. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's a quote from a man called Lord Acton, the first Baron Acton and the Marquess of Gropoli. And I did a little bit of research for this quote, and it's mummish, like the Abarbanel and Lord Acton across about 500 years were coming together. Who was Lord Acton? Slightly I'll have to. Lord Acton was a Roman Catholic thinker, and he was writing to Bishop Creighton, and he was looking at the moral problems of what? Of the Spanish Inquisition. As a Roman Catholic, he felt deeply ashamed of the leadership from 400 years ago, 500 years ago. He's writing in the late 1800s and early 1900s. He's writing, this was written in 1887. And he said, no person, no ruler, no leader is beyond reproach. No, just because they're a pope, just because they're a king, doesn't mean that there can't be something wrong. And it's amazing that he's looking back at the Inquisition and saying power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Abarbanel is looking at that time at the kings of Spain and Portugal and seeing what the Inquisition was doing to them. They were his friends. He was part of their court. And all of a sudden, power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so this is the concern that we have with this natural desire for a social framework, this natural desire to put someone up on a pedestal, is that when we do that, somehow power tends to corrupt. So, how should a melech hold his power? So Rav Soloveitchik's father, Rav Chaim Brisker's son, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, said there were three conditions for malchus. The first one is, it should have a certain tafkid. A king should have a certain mission. And actually, the Rambam brings this down in Hilchos Malachim, Perak Dalad, Halacha Yud. He says that actually, a king should have a certain mission. What does he say? She'ein mamlichin melech tchilo el la'asos mishpat u'mechamos. The only reason we'd ever make a king, says the Rambam, is to be a general, to fight a war. As it says in the Pasuk, and he brings a Pasuk from Shmuel Aleph. And each of our famous kings, our righteous kings, seem to have had a specific tafkid. David HaMelech was there, he was an Ish Milchama. He was there to get rid of the enemies of Am Yisrael so that Kivush Eretz Yisrael would be complete. And by doing that, creating this nationalist drive, he brought together Shiftei Yisrael. He created unity amongst a very disparate group of people. Shlomo HaMelech's Tafkid, Binyan Beis HaBechira, that third mitzvah of coming to the land of Israel, building the temple. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, this is interesting. The Avos Rabbi Nosson says it was Chizkiyahu HaMelech, not Ezra HaSofer, who created the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Chizkiyahu was there to spread Torah. That was his tafkid. The first condition of Malchus, therefore, of power, is to give it a certain context, a certain role, because otherwise it can go further and further and further and run beyond. The second condition of Malchus, says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, is that it has got to be done through the bakasha of Klal Yisrael. As we said, Ein Melech Belo Am, as the Ramban has said in his Parshanut on these psukim, it's got to be through the agreement and the consent of the people in order to have a valid melucha. And the third condition, says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and by the way, this is it's interesting. The Rambam in Melachim, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, in the latter part of the halacha, he says, "Ma'achas shekamas melech mitzvah, lama leirat hakadosh baruch hu kishalu melech mishmuel." He asks, "Now that it's a mitzvah, he passes also a mitzvah to make a melech. Why was hakadosh baruch hu upset when they asked of Shmuel? The fish shalu basar oimes, because they asked with a complaint." So he is sort of combining the two shittos in Sanhedrin. Yes, it's a mitzvah, and yes, there is a problem if you're asking with a complaint. That's the wrong way to do it. The consent of the nation shouldn't be because we want to be like everybody else. The consent of the nation because we want to have a Melech Yisrael. We want to have a David Melech. We want to have a Shlomo Melech. And so that appropriate request for a king is also a prerequisite for his appointment. There has to be that dialectic between the king and his subjects. And the third condition is that a Melech has to understand that he has a greater chrayus. This is not a privilege. It's a responsibility. I do some work with the British Army. The motto at Sandhurst, which is the Officer Training Academy, is serve to lead. That they understand that leadership is a service. And that is what a melech should be as well. A melech should understand it's a service. Some melachim, they live in their ivory towers. They stand far away from the nation. That is not the way that we understand Malchus should be. The Shekhinah is the Shekhinah because it's Shekhein Itam Besoch Tumasam. It's with us amidst all our mess. And that is how a king should be. Shlomo HaMelech isn't in his ivory tower. Two women come in fighting over a baby and he's right there with them. As the Gemara calls about David HaMelech, hands steeped in blood. It's not talking necessarily about war. It's talking about Taras Mishpacha, that he's there making sure that people should have happy relationships, good relationships. He's there with his people. And so the king doesn't have bias over people. The king has an achrayas to people. Serve to lead. What's the king, the sort of king that we're aspiring for? So the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Tes, Halacha Beis, he writes as follows. He says, "Mipnei she'oisa ha'melech she'amim mizera David, that king that will eventually come from the seed of David, Barach Chochma Yeh Yesem Shlomo, he'll be even more wise than Shlomo Melech. V'navi Gadohu Karav leMoshe Rabbeinu, he'll be a prophet close to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. L'fichach yilamid kol ha'am v'yera osam derech Hashem, and therefore everyone's going to learn and he's going to teach us and put us onto the derech of God. And everyone's going to come and they're going to see him. But what has Rambam done in that? Rambam has combined the personality of the king with the personality of the Rebbe. And the pasuk says, "Vayibushem Melech v'tasef Rashi'am yachad shifte Yisrael." Is it Moshe Rabbeinu or Moshe Malkeinu? It's both. It's both. That the king is meant to be that person who holds up both of those parts. How was Moshe both Rabbeinu and Malkeinu? He got his crown, his shine, his keser of kavod, not at Har Sinai on Shavuos, but on Har Sinai of Yom Kippur. Why? After the tablets were broken, he stands up for his nation and he defends them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only then does he come down with a shining crown, his crown of glory. That is what it means to be a king. The third condition, that you are there with an achrayas to your people. You go down with the ship. The ship goes down, you go down too. I just want to conclude with a thought about the ultimate melech, and I want to do it with a story that I find really, really touches me. It's a story in a story because it comes from a rabbi that I know. He's a rabbi. He's also a tour guide for J-Roots. He's a Svi Sperber, and he's listening to the radio one year, and there's call-ins to the radio, and there's a guy who calls in, and his name is Wolf. And Wolf, he says, once upon a time he was a young orphan who got sent to England. got sent to England on the Kinder transport, and he, together with his friend Mel, so Mel and Wolf, they're in an orphanage here in Britain together. And they hear that King George is going on a grand tour of the nation. And so he's going around the different villages and towns. And he's going to come through the village that the orphanage is in, and all the orphans get dressed up in their finery. My kids today, they were told they go to school in coronation clothes today. Everyone's wearing red, blue, and white for school today. Anyway, so they're all getting ready in their clothes for King George. He's going to come, and the streets are lined, and Mel and Wolf, they're there. And so Mel's standing there, and as the king's carriage comes past, there's a roar, there's this sound, there's excitement, there's the marching band, and quick as a flash, one of the boys runs out to the carriage, jumps up into the carriage, and whispers in the king's ear. You've never seen such a thing. You know, the police, they're not sure what to do themselves, the army, they're there, the marching band, they all stop, they look around, what do we do? And they pull this kid out, away from King George, and he thinks he's had it. Like, everyone's looking at him like, you've had it. You're an orphaned Jew here in the UK. You're gonna lose your time at the orphanage. You're gonna be kicked out. You're gonna be on the streets. And for 2 weeks, this boy is plucked. He doesn't know what to do with himself. The head of the orphanage hasn't said anything to him. And his friend says to him, "Why did you do that? Why, you're such an idiot. You know, you're crazy. Why did you do that? You're gonna get kicked. You're gonna get us both kicked out." Anyway, 2 weeks later, the head teacher of the orphanage calls in this little boy, calls in Mel. Can't remember the name. Calls him in, and he says, "I'm sorry, but you remember what happened 2 weeks ago when King George was here? You are going to be excluded now from the orphanage." And the head teacher says, "But before you go, and before I ask you to leave, I just want to know what you said to the king." So the little boy thinks, "I've got nothing left to lose. I'll tell him what I said." So he said, "I thought this man is the most powerful man in all of Britain. So I said to him, 'I have two parents that stood in Germany. You're the most powerful man in the country. Could you bring my parents to this country?'" And the head teacher says, "Well, the king listened to your request." And he walks and he opens the door, and there are his parents. The friend who has called in to tell this story says, "I could have spoken to the king. I could have also run out like he did. I didn't speak to the king. And so my parents didn't come to this country." Kodesh Baruch Hu ultimately is our king. He's waiting for our bakashos. He's waiting for our tefillos. Whether it's a mitzvah or a shus to have a melech bas of Adam, we know we have a melech. Malchim Malachim, he's waiting for us to run out and to whisper in his ear. Good Shabbos.